Reformed Church.
But this is Galatians 4:9, and the whole book of Galatians is just about Paul trying to get the Galatians back to the gospel that they had received initially, because they were being swayed and moved by certain people that had come in amongst them to start trying to keep the law again. We can't give more context than that, but Galatians 4:9 is the King James Version. It just says, but now after that you have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn you again to the weak and beggarly element whereunto you desire again to be in bondage? And that's talking about the yoke of bondage that he refers to earlier, which is talking about the law of Moses. And it's evident because as you observe days and months and times and years, he's talking about the traditions of the law there. And he says, and I'm afraid of you, lest I have bestowed upon you labor in vain. He said, I've tried to preach the gospel to you, but I'm concerned that I may have taught you all these things in vain if you're just going to go back and try to keep the law of Moses again. In verse 12, brethren, I beseech you, be as I am, for I am as you are. And what that's talking about is, that's talking about, he's saying, I'm without law. And he's saying, be as I am, because I am as you are. And Galatians, I think it's 2:14, gives a little context to that. Basically, Paul saying, as a Jew, he became as the Gentiles without law. And so he's saying, be as I am, because I became as you were, without law. So don't go and try to keep the law of the Jews. But anyway, there's more context. But he's talking about the law again there. But look at verse 13. He says, you know how through infirmity of the flesh I preached the gospel unto you at the first, and my temptation which was in my flesh you despised not nor rejected, but received me as an angel of God. He's talking about when he first came to them, when they were just believing the gospel. And he said they received him as an angel of God, even though Paul had come to them with some kind of infirmity or weakness or probably an injury in his flesh, because he was whipped so many times and beaten and stoned. And so they, even with the inconvenience that was to them, he said, you received me as an angel of God, even as Christ Jesus. Where is then the blessedness you spake of? For I bear record that if it had been possible, you would have plucked out your own eyes and given them to me. Am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? My point with reading this is that, isn't it funny, people that went from just believing the gospel at first, and it says that they had this blessedness about them, they just automatically just started giving, and this was not talking about, of course, monetarily, I'm just teaching it during this time, but they received Paul, they took care of Paul, there was this blessedness, you received me as an angel of God, as Christ Jesus himself, and all this happened when they were just believing the gospel. And then they switched their tactics to trying to put effort into their life, to change their life for God. And isn't it funny? They put in more effort to change their life for God, and then he says, where's this blessedness? Where'd the blessedness go? All of a sudden he said, have I become your enemy? Isn't it a strange thing? And it's not really strange when you understand the principles, but I think it probably sounds strange to some people that they went from just fruit being born, and all they were doing was just believing the gospel. And there was such a blessedness coming out of them, and they weren't even trying to do it. And then when they started trying to do it, all of a sudden, where'd the blessedness go? And we believe at this church that people, if you teach them Jesus properly, and it has to be properly, okay? If you teach Jesus properly, people will have a sense of blessedness about them. I'm not just talking about giving where they receive, because giving at church is easy. That's you're giving to something that you're receiving from. I'm talking about even just giving to people you don't receive from. But giving in general and having a generosity and a blessedness about you, that is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. That is the love and joy and peace and patience. And obviously we know that kindness, that kind of kindness is a fruit of the Spirit itself. And when you're just believing the gospel, the Holy Spirit bears fruit all by himself. And actually, when you change to start trying to keep the law or a form of it by trying to put effort into changing your life and doing better and all this stuff, you will actually make yourself less effective by taking more burden. When you take one burden, and that's a light burden, the light yoke of just receiving Jesus and learning him, all of your effectiveness ends up happening effortlessly through you. And this is why we do not feel compelled. We teach on giving, even at church. Giving is a good and necessary thing for the gospel to go forward. But you know what, though? We're not going to twist somebody's arm over it and say, well, you need to be doing better, and you need to, because we know if we preach the gospel and people really receive it, that'll bear the fruit all by itself. I do want to give you one quick little testimony about this, that, you know, Pastor Jose and Miss Kim, when they were first learning these things about giving and even about how we're not blessed by our giving, we're blessed through faith in Jesus, just the same way we got saved, they were actually talking to someone, another minister, and they were talking to them, and they said, they were trying to tell them about this, like, great news that they just found out, that We're blessed through Jesus, not by our works or any work of our own, including giving. And it's just through Jesus and what they've been teaching and how it's not by our tithe. It's not by you give a certain percentage and then God will bless you. And they just realized this, and they were telling this minister, and this minister told them, I know that, which probably not so much, but they said, I know that, but if you don't teach tithing, then people won't give. And I just want to give that as a testimony to Pastor Zay and Ms. Kim at this church, that they will teach that you're not blessed by your tithing, even when a lot of preachers today are actually saying, think about that, I know it's true that you're not blessed by your tithe, but I'm going to keep teaching something that I know is not true. And that's a kind of a shocking thing, actually. I'm going to keep teaching something that I know is not true, because if I tell people that they're not blessed by their gifts, they'll stop giving. That what that is, that's a tactic of your effort and law to try to get fruit out of somebody, rather than just teaching you the gospel and saying godliness is a gift. God will produce fruit through you, but it's through your belief in the gospel. It happens effortlessly. And so I would commend Pastor Zay and Ms. Kim in saying, you know what, they took a risk and they just were teaching the gospel, even though, you know, that would mean people may not give as much because, you know, if you tell them they're not blessed by their giving, then that was a risk. But truthfully, when you know the gospel, it's not a risk. You know, it may take a little time. It may take a little time because people take time, believe it or not, to actually understand the gospel. But it's not really a risk when you understand the gospel, because the gospel will produce fruit where the law does not, where rules and your effort do not. Notice I didn't say the gospel produces better fruit than the law. No, the gospel just produces fruit, and the law does not. The Bible says that the strength, in 1 Corinthians 15:56, it says that the strength of sin is the law. The law does not produce good results. It may produce a form of godliness on the outside and a whitewashing on the outside, whether you're full of dead man's bones on the inside. It may produce a form of it, but it produces no real godliness. The law requires effort from you, and that's why it can't produce godliness, because we can never live up to it. The gospel is about what Jesus did for you, including godliness. And that's why when the Galatians just received the gospel, there was a sense of blessedness that just came out of them. And when they started engaging their own effort, where is this blessedness you spake of, Paul told them. So I just want to submit that to you. On one hand, just to show you the pastors that you have, in the fact that they said, you know what, you can say you're not going to teach tithing because people are going to stop giving, and that's a financial motivation that a lot of pastors have, and there are pastors that will not teach against this notion of being blessed by your gifts for fear that people won't give, but they say, you know what, we're teaching people the truth, and even if it meant people would give less, which it doesn't, with time, it doesn't, even if it meant that, it's worth setting people free by the true gospel of Jesus Christ and not compromising just because you want money. That's a blessing to be in a church where someone says, I'm willing to teach this and just forsake the thought entirely of how much are people giving, because people weren't giving a whole lot, and we had a very small church, still have a small church in population, and it's important to understand the kind of church you're going to. We're about the truth of Jesus, and we believe it produces better fruit. We really do, than any other tactic.
We hope you enjoyed this message from Reformed Church. If you have, please share this with someone else and help us get this uncommon truth out to the world. If you'd like to support this good news, you can do so at reformchurch.com/give. Also on our website, you can take advantage of our free messages, articles, and even full discipleship courses. Start reforming your mind now at reformchurch.com.